Today we have the details of the beautiful story of the virgin birth of the Christ child. Stay tuned.
This program is dedicated to help you achieve peace of mind and soul in these troubling times, in these last days before that glorious day when Jesus Christ returns. Now, here is your moderator, Gary Wolfshire.
We go to the Book of Life and Love, the Bible. We turn to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, quote, "Now it came to pass in the days that a decree went forth from Caesar Augustus that a census of the whole world should be taken. This first census took place while Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all were going, each to his own town, to register. And Joseph also went from Galilee, out of the town of Nazareth, into Judea, to a town of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, to register together with Mary, his espoused wife, who was with child. And it came to pass, while they were there, that the days for her deliverance, for her to be delivered, were fulfilled. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds in the same district, living in the fields, and keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of God shone round about them, and they feared exceedingly. And the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men of good will." Unquote. On April 8, 1976, our Lord appeared to Veronica Lukin and said, "Veronica, you will write exactly as I give this to you. You will call it the story of the virgin birth. In this year of 1976, there are intellectuals, theologians, scientists, and so forth who question the virgin birth of Mary, the Mother of God. Do you not understand the almighty power of God? Nothing is impossible for or to him. Let me, in my humble learning limitations, try to explain to you what the Eternal Father did for mankind. He created Adam, then gave him woman, Eve, to be part and companion to him. They were the first man and woman upon earth created in the image of God. Satan, the high fallen angel, who had been cast out of heaven because he sought to dethrone God the Father and take over heaven. Well, Satan went after Eve to tempt her to disobey God. He succeeded, and Adam and Eve, yes, Eve, made Adam follow her in sin and were cast out of paradise. God the Father told Eve, I will multiply thy sorrows and thy conceptions. Hear that, all you abortion advocates? God creates life in his conceptions. God said that he would place life in her, Eve, and her offspring. Then God said, In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, the sorrow being pain, trial, and labor, and thou shalt be under thy husband's power. You must obey that, all women liberationists. You must. You shall bring forth children and be under thy husband's power, and he shall have dominion over thee. Man shall guide woman and be at the head. Adam was given to labor and toil all his life, to eat, to work, and survive. Heaven was closed until a most perfect sacrifice could be made to open the gates to a fallen mankind. God the Father in heaven had a plan, and the prophets revealed this plan of God to mankind and wrote this plan down as part and testimony in the Bible. The seed, S-E-E-D, that God spoke of in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that Mary, the seed that Mary carried within her. Satan had his seed, the bad angels, the fallen angels, the demons that were cast out of heaven with him, and those that he would claim in his future upon earth, the souls of fallen humans condemned to hell. So you see, with Jesus, God the Father meant that Mary would lead the fight against Satan. Of course, all under the directions of the Trinity, until she would crush his head, his rule, and he, the snake, Satan, would lie in wait knowing the plan. Hence, Satan knew he would have only so much time to seduce, to capture souls for his kingdom of hell, to take them in anger and frustration from the Creator, God the Father in heaven. So you see, Satan wants souls to despise God, and then he will torture them forever in hell. So why must you fall into his trap? Joseph was betrothed, that means engaged to Mary. Before they were presented to each other, that is, came together to prepare for marriage and married, Mary was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. This was before she was married. It was a supernatural manifestation by God. The seed, the child, was placed in the womb by God, the Eternal Father, without having known man. No contact physically with man in intercourse. Mary was a pure, a virgin forever. It was God's plan. Of course, Mary understood. The angel explained to her before, but Joseph was confused and scared, and loving Mary wanted to hide her away until after the birth, feeling that people would not understand. But God sent an angel to him to explain what was going on, that it was all in God's plan, that this was the Messiah promised, and that Mary was chosen to be the mother of the Son of God, the Savior of his people from their sins. Joseph was much relieved and prayed, and then was given the grace to understand all. The angel explained that God the Father was sad that Satan had taken so many souls away from him, so he had to send his only begotten Son to try and save them. As many as would listen and believe after the coming sacrifice. Yes, Joseph knew the life ahead for Mary and Jesus and the sacrifice to come and the part he would have in their lives. God made it all known to him and gave him strength and purpose. When Joseph experienced the birth of Jesus, there was never a chance to doubt. He saw Mary fall into a deep sleep and felt a change come over him, a sense of divine presence, a great light encasing the area of the stable. And before his very eyes, with no physical effort on the part of Mary, and Mary remained covered with a coverlet in her sleep, fully clothed, the Christ child appeared, like from out of nowhere, onto the prepared bed of straw and cloth. Joseph looked into the eyes of the newborn babe, born in a manner only begot by God alone, beyond most human understanding, a painless birth, a supernatural birth with no passage from the vagina. His entrance into the world resembled in human form any other baby, but this was not an ordinary human being. This was, is God, the Son of God, just taking upon himself a human form to come to mankind as recognizable in a body to walk among mankind to plead their cause for heaven, to awaken a fallen mankind to the necessity to understand the Eternal Father, to follow his plan to reach heaven, to save their eternal living soul, their immortal being, their soul. Yes, the Son of God performed miracles. Those that saw and believed, and some saw but believed for a short time, until Satan blinded them and closed their hearts. Graces in abundance were given, cures of the body and the spirit, and yet he was persecuted and his body killed upon the cross, the sacrifice most perfect, to die in the body so that others may live in the spirit with him in heaven. To you, Father, I commend my spirit. I must also add that Mary was born without original sin. She bore not the taint of Eve. As Mary's coming was planned by God, way before St. Anne brought her into the world, she was written of in the Old Testament. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Joseph called him Jesus, the Greek and Latin form of the late Hebrew and Aramaic name Joshua, meaning the Lord is salvation. Blessed Mary, ever virgin, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Jesus spoke simply to mankind. If one would only try to listen, he said, "Let the dead bury the dead." Obviously, as Jesus went about, he found some peoples already with dead souls among the dead bodies, already lost to heaven, too hardened to come back, loving their sin too much to give it up to save their souls. Are you a soul living in the light on the way to heaven, or do you suffer a darkness of spirit on the road to death of your soul to be claimed eternally by Satan and damned? There is still time to get on the right road. Won't you please come back and follow my direction? This was given and dictated to me by Jesus with Our Lady present toward the end of the message at 2 a.m. in the morning of April 8, 1976. I was very surprised because I was about to retire, having spent quite a time doing Our Lady's work, written work, and answering letters, when Jesus said, "Veronica, penance, more penance is needed." I understood Jesus. You see, anything that is difficult, like Jesus said, penance is hard, but at the end of penance is a great joy. So anything, even if you have to stay up at a late hour in the night to do some work involving the work of God, Jesus will call anything that's difficult penance. And so it was at 2 a.m. on the morning of April 8, 1976, Jesus said, "Much penance is needed because of the vile defamation of my mother and the manner in which I was born. It is for this reason that much suffering shall be sent upon mankind. And I say," Jesus said, "for all punishment is conditional to man's response. Unless there is penance and atonement to the Eternal Father for the abominations and sins being committed in your world," Jesus said, "and now rampant throughout my churches, my church, the universal Roman Catholic Church upon earth." This ends the revelation given to Veronica Lucan, on April 8th, 1976. You're listening to These Last Days radio broadcast in these last days before that glorious day when Jesus Christ returns. During the past week, our holy hours grew by 1,326 for a grand total of 32,786 holy hours being prayed before our Lord in the Most Blessed Sacrament in the next year. I would ask that if you would like to pledge to do one or more hours a week for a year, to write us at These Last Days, P.O. Box 40, Lowell, Michigan, 49331, and we'll include your holy hours in the totals next week. I ask that you pray that that Our Lady of the Roses will be the greatest apparition that has ever occurred in the history of the world. Also, at your holy hours, I ask that you pray that we will have many generous supporters of Our Lady's messages on this program, These Last Days. We found a tremendous book titled Born Fundamentalist, Born Again Catholic. David Currie was raised in a devout Christian family whose father was a fundamentalist preacher and both parents were teachers at Moody Bible Institute. Currie himself received from Trinity International University a degree and studied in a Master's of Divinity program at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. This book was written as an explanation to his fundamentalist and evangelical friends and family about why he became a Roman Catholic. Currie presents a systematic and intelligible account of the reasons for his conversion to the Roman Catholic Church that Christ had founded. He gives a detailed discussion of important theological and doctrinal beliefs of Catholics and evangelicals hold in common, as well as key doctrines that separate us, particularly the Eucharist, the Pope, and Mary. If you have a non-Catholic spouse, relative, or friend, this book will help them to understand the Roman Catholic Church and help you to understand the Protestant Church. I have personally read this book, and it is amazing. This extraordinary book, titled Born Fundamentalist, Born Again Catholic, costs $16.50, which includes shipping and handling, and can be ordered from These Last Days, P.O. Box 40, Lowell, Michigan, 49331. The title of the book, Born Fundamentalist, Born Again Catholic, cost $16.50. In the past, two times the Great Warning was postponed. A third postponement will not be granted. On December 24, 1975, Jesus said, quote, "What can I say to you at this time? How can I promise further reprieves for an unrepentant generation?" Unquote. On April 5, 1975, Our Lady said, quote, "The merciful heart of the Eternal Father has given you two reprieves in the past, my children. A third reprieve shall not be given." Unquote. These Last Days Ministries is on the internet at www.tldm.org. We have the Prophecies of Our Lady, Miraculous Pictures, the Directives, this radio program, and much more. Visit us at www.tldm.org. Tell your family and friends about it. Our Lady talked about a miraculous spring at Bayside, and it will be called the Lourdes of America. On February 10, 1976, Our Lady said, quote, "There is a spring upon the grounds of waters for cure. When the time is ripe, the Eternal Father shall bring the waters up." Unquote. On August 14, 1972, Our Lady said, quote, "You will soon have a well. With this well, the waters will cure. When this well erupts, it will not be stopped by the clergy. You have reached the boundaries, and now my son will step in. The waters will not be capped, the waters will be given to the ill." Unquote. On May 17, 1986, Our Lady said, quote, "Yes, my child, I am going about the world, appearing in various places, and I have reason for all. One day, my child, the waters will come up at Bayside, and I will appear over the old church building. Your bishop then cannot deny my appearances." Unquote. Let's storm heaven with prayers that this miraculous spring will erupt very soon at St. Robert Bellarmine Church at Bayside, New York. And now we have the latest news from Veronica Lucan's former secretary and close personal friend, Mrs. Ann Ferguson. Hello, Mrs. Ferguson.
Hello, Gary. It's a pleasure to speak to you and your listeners once again. Now, my first testimony here is from Alabama. To Our Lady of the Roses, I started receiving your messages about 3 years ago. When I first started reading about you, I was a Baptist. And after receiving your rose petals, I started wanting more. And it didn't take long for me to realize what was missing in my life. So in 1988, I was confirmed into the Roman Catholic Church. Your newsletters and messages were a great inspiration to me. May God bless you and thank you. Now my next testimony here is from New York. To Our Lady of the Roses, I would like to give you my testimony on how Our Lady of the Roses has touched my life and that of my family. I am the mother of 7 children, and although I sent the kids to Mass and CCD classes, I had lapsed in my own faith because of troubles in my family. My husband had a serious alcoholic problem, and we were beset with financial difficulties. I was at my wit's end with my brother, who had been away from the church for years, but had gone back with a vengeance since hearing about Bayside. One night, I talked my husband into attending a slide presentation on Bayside. We were both impressed. I just believed at once. My husband was more cautious and wanted to know, sure, I wasn't getting into anything that was not of God. We both started wearing the brown scapulars and of Mount Carmel, and soon after, I got back to Mass and to the sacraments and started saying the daily rosary to Our Lady. Even though he was wearing the scapulars, my husband's drinking got worse, and he fought me tooth and nail about religion. I was at my wit's end. I was so happy to be back in my faith and so unhappy that I couldn't share it with my husband. I kept saying the rosary for him. I put a rose petal and some medals of Our Lady under my mattress on his side of the mattress. Well, to make a long story short, my husband has been cured of alcoholism. He has embraced the Catholic faith again. He just finished making the 5 first Saturdays, and he goes to Mass and the sacraments. He has helped many of our friends get back to God. He is a great father, a wonderful example to our children and to all who know him. And what love for the Mother of God can do, namely, bring you directly to Jesus. We also say the rosary daily. I must tell you about the strange or miraculous, say the rosary daily, together almost daily. We made a vigil at Bayside about last December. After we got back to church, his rosary beads and the links have changed from silver to gold. He is an example and tells of Our Lady's love to all he meets. Our financial problems are coming around, and I can't tell you how happy I am that Jesus and Mary have touched us. So I can honestly say that thanks to Bayside, that number one, my husband and I got back to the Mass and the sacraments. Number two, my husband was cured of alcoholism. Number three, my husband's rosary changed to gold. Number four, my brother and three sisters got back to the Mass and the sacraments. Number five, many of our friends have come back to church. You can tell those investigating that all this is true, so help me God. May Jesus and Mary bless you all. And that is signed, and that's all I have today. May God bless you, Gary.
Thank you, Mrs. Ferguson. In closing, Mrs. Ann Ferguson and all of us here at These Last Days wish each and every one of you a most blessed and holy Merry Christmas. Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to join us next week. Until then, may Jesus and Mary richly bless you and protect you and your loved ones in these last days before that glorious day when Jesus Christ comes from heaven with great power and majesty.
You have been listening to These Last Days broadcast. We hope this program has been a blessing to you. We ask you to invite your family, friends, and relatives to join us next week at this time. We plead for your prayers that many will listen to this program and save their souls. Many miracles have occurred through Our Lady of the Roses medal and rose petals, blessed by Jesus and Mary at Bayside. You may obtain these without cost by writing These Last Days, Lowell, Michigan, 49331. The written messages are available free upon request. Your financial support is urgently needed to ensure this broadcast continues to be heard on this station. It will greatly encourage us in our ministry to hear from you. Please mention the call letters of this station when you write. Again, our mailing address is These Last Days, Lowell, Michigan, 49331.